Okay, this is from The Message, and it's entitled, The Heading of It is an Event for Everyone. There were shepherds camping in the neighbourhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. And the angel said, don't be terrified, don't be afraid, because I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody, worldwide. A saviour has just been born in David's town. I'm going to pause there for a moment and quickly acknowledge Kevin and Rachel. A baby has just been born into their family. They are now grandparents, so we congratulate them and welcome baby Gia Francis into their family. Okay, but back to this baby. Okay, a saviour has just been born in David's town, a saviour who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're looking for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And at once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. I won't sing. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Right, let's go over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. And they left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. And Mary kept these things to herself, holding them dear and deep within herself. Well, the shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had seen and heard. It had turned out exactly what they had been told. Okay, before I carry on, would you mind just lifting it up, Mike, please, for me, my glasses? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, that's fantastic. Okay, so that night, those men weren't expecting or looking for something because they didn't know that there was something to be looking for. That night, I imagine, all that they might have been wondering about is if there might have been an encounter with some kind of wild animal that could have been after their sheep. But most likely they were hoping for a quiet night and a spot close to the fire while they slept. But as we're in this time of Advent, this time within the church calendar, where some of us choose to slow our walk rather than enter the hustle and bustle of the silly season, I wonder what it is that we might be expecting, what our expectation might be. What could it be, or who could it be, that we might encounter along the way? See, Advent is this time where we look back to the first Advent, the first coming, where God became incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the mystery and the majesty and the glory of it all. So we look back to that time. But also in the season of Advent, we look forward with great hope and anticipation of Christ's return, where he will come back and he will make all things right again. So we look back and we look forward, but also we can take the time to look around us to see where God, where Father, Son, and Spirit is moving amongst us and within us and through us. Sometimes, maybe often if we're honest, this can be hard to see. Is God really moving? Is he actually with us? Maybe we can catch glimpses of him in other people's lives, but not so much in our own lives. Yet, he is moving. He is here. And just like the shepherds, whose seeing was believing, so is true for us. Seeing is believing. The thing is, the things that we see, what we look at really does impact us. What are we looking at? What do we see? Sometimes the things that we see impact us for good. And some of the things that we see impact us for not so good. It goes both ways. you know, there are images that have been imprinted on my mind and in my heart that bring me great joy and delight. I can, you know, immediately think of family times and moments of great hilarity and of great meaning as well. I can, in my mind, I can see places that still amaze me when I think of the majesty of God. And there are moments and encounters that I have with God as well that I can still see, that I can still feel and experience. Those things that I see and have experienced have really impacted me. However, as a child, as a 10-year-old girl, when I went to a friend's house after school and she showed me some of her mum's special magazines, some 40 years later, I can still see that image in front of me. The eyes of my head and my soul were seared by this image, and while I have been and am being healed of it, it still lingers. What we see and what we consume with our eyes, and not just with these eyes, but with the eyes of our hearts, is so incredibly important. And it's not just what we see, but it's how we perceive things that is also really important. And as Christians, as people who are endeavouring to live life with Jesus, to live life the way that he did, and to do as he did, how we see life, how we understand life is so incredibly important. So if we see with our human eye, if we just see and understand what's in front of us, then I believe that we don't get to see the full picture. We don't necessarily get to see the things the way that God intends for us to see them. As Jesus spoke and taught on the Sermon of the Mount, and what he taught the people was he was kind of turning what they believed to be true upside down, so that it was his teaching that was right side up. I wonder too if there are some things that we are seeing with our human eyes that might be upside down that we need to kind of see the right side up, that being with a heavenly and an eternal perspective. And one of the ways that we can do this, that we can have a heavenly and eternal perspective, and I have to say that it can be very challenging, is through the lens of thanksgiving. I say that it's challenging, not to be discouraging, but to be honest. Because yes, when life is easy and it's going well and we're feeling good and you can see and perceive God, the goodness of God all around us, it's relatively easy to give thanks to God. And so we should, on a daily basis, as often as we see it, we, you know, to be able to acknowledge the things, the good things around us, to give thanks. But when the storms roll in that take our focus off Jesus, and all we can see and feel is what's around us, and it seems like Jesus is sleeping through it all, it's then that we can find it rather difficult to give thanks. On one level, giving thanks in that kind of time can seem quite false in the storm. It's like you're holding on for dear life, and thank you, Jesus, that I'm here in this moment. That's kind of not what I'm talking about. And nor should we be glibly being thankful for things either. Nothing worse than a child having to say thank you to somebody for a gift that they've been given that they don't particularly like. Thank you very much for the present you gave me. So how do we remain thankful and open-hearted when what we're feeling and what we're experiencing or facing is something that we don't like? As author Anne Voskamp writes, how do we live in this world with hands wide open to receive what God gives when what he gives may not feel like gifts? How do you fill with hope and empty of hurt? And he does this, she writes. He means to fill us with his grace. Grace, God's life, his power and righteousness given to us by unmerited favour. Or as I grew up, God's riches at Christ's expense. The Apostle Paul writes about this exchange, this holy exchange, where our challenges and hurts are exchanged for the gift that he's already and given and continues to give to us. When he writes about having spoken to God about a thorn in his flesh, or as what another translation writes, about a handicap that he's got that's holding him back from doing all that he wants to do for God. And God says to him, My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. His grace is enough for us. It is all we need. And his strength comes into its own in our weaknesses. And I wonder if there's someone here this morning, you're sitting here and you're thinking, how do I open up my heart and my hands to God when with all that's before me, with all that I'm having to face, and it doesn't feel like a gift? Well, I pray that this morning that you can receive the truth of this in your heart and in your spirit and your mind in Jesus' name, that his grace is enough. It's all that you need. And his strength comes into its own in your weakness. It's a holy thing to look beyond the pain, beyond the unknown, beyond the ashes, and beyond the mourning, to see the goodness, to see the beauty, and experience the way of thanksgiving and joy that is all around us. This is a place and a way of thanksgiving that becomes holy ground. It's where we learn to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Eucharistio means grace. It means thanksgiving and joy. It's gratitude in action. Eucharistio requires faith, though, some understanding and trust. And the way of Eucharistio is an invitation. It's both an invitation from and the door to Jesus. It's an invitation to trust in new, possibly deeper ways. It's an invitation to take hold of the truths that we've been learnt, to take hold of what we read in Scripture and allow the truth to travel from our heads to our hearts and into our very beings. And as the truth becomes a reality, we then begin to wake to the wonder of the small things. And we begin to find joy in what really matters, in who really matters. We live life how we see and perceive things, the big and the small, the important and the seemingly insignificant, the crushing and the celebration, the life-defining and in the mundane. And we can experience a deeper way of life with God as we acknowledge and experience his presence. And remember that his presence never leaves us and he never gives up on us. And our experience grows deeper as we can begin to see and understand his provision of grace and of strength, of mercy, and when his love and his wisdom is revealed in situations. We can see it through the power and the beauty of the Spirit, and when we acknowledge his goodness and his faithfulness in the plenty and in the seeming lack. So much of how we see life, how we perceive it, how it plays out over time, and all through all of this, we need to continue to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That's why we as followers of Jesus say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The thing is that we don't know what he knows. We don't see what he sees. And yet even if we do catch a glimpse of what he's doing, and we might see his grace, which then weaves together hardship and hope. And as we look and open ourselves up to his goodness, we can then take time to pause and give thanks for all that is right in front of us. Giving thanks is ultimately an invitation to slow down with the weight of full attention, our focus on God. Our focus, yes, on ourselves and our situation. And this can be a really challenging thing to do, but it's really necessary, bringing these things before God. And as we do that, we try and catch a glimpse of what it is that God might be doing in our midst. And there are times too when we do need to slow down to enjoy the beauty, even in the middle of the hard. Because sometimes we don't know what good is, especially if we're focusing on the really hard things at this time. But God does know, and he longs to reveal to us and show us what is good and what is beautiful. And someday we may be able to look back on the challenges, this time of not knowing and of not understanding the things that we're facing, and be really grateful for the mercy of God that was wrapped up in this time. Let's keep our eyes open for the good he is doing in the mix of everything. And let's be grateful. And when we do see what the good that he is doing, we need to speak it out. It can kind of feel like a really weird thing to do. It can kind of feel a bit like bragging, you know, depending on what it is that you're being thankful for. However, it's not about us, remember. It's all about God. And we're thanking him for who he is, yes, for what he's done and how he is with us and what he's doing for us and doing with us and amongst us. And so our thanks go to him. Now, I don't know if you, I love stationery. I love the idea of a new year. Love going and getting my diary for 2023. All around at the moment are gratitude journals. It's really interesting, you know, where they... And in my diary that I've got for next year, it's got space for me to write things down every day, three things that I'm grateful for. So it's really interesting that what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica all those years ago still holds true for us today. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you and those who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Being thankful and being grateful is a way of being for those who follow Jesus. Now, these words can sound very light. You know, what is it? Be cheerful. Be cheerful always. Pray always. And thank God. But they're very deep. And they're really profound, especially if we take the time to walk through them and allow them to speak to us. Giving thanks teaches us to remind us what God has done and what he is doing and what he will do. Psalm 136 is a case in point. It starts off, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. And who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever." And you can understand where he's going. What is before him, the psalmist is giving thanks to God. But then as you go on and you read, he then begins to remind those who are listening to the song or to what's being written of the things that God has already done. How he took them out of Egypt. He took them out of slavery and brought them into the promised land. For his love endures forever. Remember, imagine if we were to rewrite this. We could do Psalm 136, 1-9, just as it's written there. But then we write in our own story of the things that God has done for us. His love endures forever. And of the promises that we hold on to, we could write those down. His love endures forever. He remains faithful. See, giving thanks reminds us of the goodness of God. And there are times when we need to remind ourselves regularly. Choosing to be thankful is a discipline. Choosing to be open to seeing and perceiving the goodness of God, it takes time. It requires for us to be really intentional. Because when we do it, when we remember and we see the things that God has done, hopefully it elicits a response of thanksgiving. Whether it be something that you do every day, maybe in your time with God, yeah, you can write down three things that you're thankful and that you're grateful for. Or you could try doing something simple like sitting at the table every night while you're eating your dinner. And as you eat, you can share with those with you what you're thankful and grateful for. I remember we endeavoured to do it with our children when they were smaller and we were sitting there having dinner. And some nights it was really successful and it generated some really good conversations, and other nights it just caused great chaos and we were grateful when it was all over. but trying to think on the high side, trying to sit, look and see amongst the mess of our days. And sometimes all we see is the mess, but there is beauty. There is something good. Now, there was a time this year when a friend of and I would text each other, and we would text each other and say three things that we were thankful for. It seemed a little bit awkward at first, because some days you'd feel like you were kind of scratching around for something to be thankful for and to be genuine about it, to be really genuine. But as I mentioned before, it gives the opportunity for us to slow down and consider, to consider our days, consider those amongst us and around us, consider our actions, and yeah, really consider the things that we are truly grateful for, and ultimately to consider God. Oddly, I say oddly, doing it brought joy. And not just for myself, but for the person that I was sharing it with. And not just for what I was sharing with them, but what they were sharing with me. Because what I could see then, that God was moving. I could see that there were things in their life that was good. And no matter how big or how small it was, it brought joy to their life. As we speak out our thanks and gratitude, sharing with others, it helps us to see that God is moving, that he is with us, and he's in us, and he's amongst us, and that he is for us. Now, when we consider Jesus and read of the times where it's recorded that he was thankful, I find it really interesting. There are only four times that it's actually written where he gives thanks. Now, I imagine he was a thankful person. I imagine he was full of gratitude for those around him. But these are the ones that have been recorded. Okay, one was before the feeding of the 5,000. One was before he raised Lazarus from the dead. So two seemingly really big problems that were before him, like a really small amount of food and an enormous crowd. And the second one was the death of a dearly cherished friend. And what Jesus does is he gives thanks to God, and then two great miracles take place. Eyes to heaven, heart open to the goodness of God. Thanksgiving in these times opens the door for God to move. And then another time was when Jesus was full of joy that God was revealing the mysteries of the kingdom with those who were following after him, his children, rather than to the wise and the learned. The joy of the ways of God are far above our ways, and the delight that he has as we follow after him, and his desire is that we would participate in life as he has for us. He is willing to share it all with us. And Jesus gives thanks for this. And then finally, when Jesus took the bread and the cup at the Last Supper, where maybe too he wondered whether what was to come was truly a gift from God for him, fully aware it was a gift for all of us, but for him. But still, he gave thanks with his eyes and his heart toward heaven. This Christmas, yes, we look back to the birth of Jesus and we look forward, longing for his return. But I pray also that we would look around us to see where God, Father, Son, and Spirit are moving within us and amongst us and through us. May our eyes be looking toward heaven. May the eyes of our hearts be open to see the goodness of God around us, and let our mouths open to give thanks and praise. As we come to communion this morning, I wonder if before we do, we can take a moment to still ourselves before God. We might find that in moments like this, we only want to bring before God the things either that we're concerned about or the things that we're really thankful and grateful for. But he invites us to bring our whole selves to him, to bring everything before him. While we might compartmentalize our lives, he sees it all and he loves us all completely. And as we bring all of ourselves, we acknowledge not only our need of him, where we might feel his absence or his silence, but we also recognize his presence and activity. And through it all, we keep our focus on him. And in this time, let's take a moment to ask for grace, for this grace which is enough for us. It's all that we need. And that a strength which comes into its own in our weaknesses, that we would know and that we would experience that strength. And let's take a moment, maybe catching a glimpse of what it is that God is doing in and through our lives at this time. And let's give thanks. And in doing so, maybe we will receive our miracle, or some mystery of the kingdom will be revealed to us. Or it might be forgiveness or healing, hope and restoration that we receive. And even while there may be some hard times that we are facing, there are still many things, many people, and many situations that we can be thankful for. So let's take a moment to give thanks. Let's come and receive the emblems and take them back to our seats. Let's pray. You are God of the mountains, and you are God of the valleys. You are with us always, and you long to reveal to us, long to show us the things that you see, that we would live life enriched and graced and strengthened and empowered to live life in your kingdom in the way that you desire for us to do so. We hold in our hands the emblems of your great love for us. The emblems that Jesus held in his hands and that he gave thanks for. Bread that was broken and wine that was spilled. Bread representing his body and the wine representing his blood. He gave thanks. Father, there are times when it is so difficult to find something good in the midst of our storms. But I pray that this morning, I pray that in this moment, we, as we pause, you will reveal to us, you will grace us, you'll give us all that we need to walk the way that you're calling us to walk in this time, in this season, in this moment. And we say thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Long before this time, you made a way. And for that, we are truly grateful. And your promise is that there is a home for us where there will be no more crying and there'll be no more pain. And we thank you for that. But in this moment, we thank you for your presence with us and all that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus. And so we take and we eat with thankful and grateful hearts for your great love for us. Amen. Let's eat and drink.